Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is the supper, the wedding feast. And that's why in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 19, it said, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. It said, blessed. You are blessed. To be called there, you are blessed. And it is, blessed be the name of the Lord. An end of a program. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 7 speaks about the evening light. At evening there shall be a light. It is that light is the end time message. Speaking of the end of the program for redemption. Praise the Lord. I want you to take note that in the book of Esther chapter 2, reading from verse 12, 13 and 14. Hallelujah. After they were prepared by the chamberlains, after the maidens that were supposed to replace Ahasuerus and Vashti, Queen Vashti. And remember, we are speaking spiritual things. Christ and his church. Israel is the first queen who turned down salvation. And she had to be replaced by a Gentile bride. But he used 7 chamberlains to gather for him. 1 chamberlain for each age. And when it is time for the next move, when it is time, after they have been prepared, hallelujah, at what time will they come to the king's chamber? They were coming one by one. What time was Esther brought? Esther came in the evening. It was in the evening that the chamberlain released the maiden that should be qualified to be a king. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And take note in verse 16 of Esther chapter 2. Esther was taken to the king. Notice it. Esther, who became the queen, was taken to the king Ahasuerus in the 7th year of the reign of Ahasuerus. It was in the 7th year that Queen Esther was taken to the king. Oh, let somebody catch this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, the process of redemption, like we have seen, of the rapture, it begins with a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend with a shout. That is the first stage. The shout there is the midnight cry of Matthew chapter 25, verse 6. That cry, and there was an awakening voice. The message went forth. It is that same servant message of Luke chapter 14, verse 17. Hallelujah. What is the shout doing? The shout is getting the bride ready. Getting the marriage settled. Getting her ready. Hallelujah. To meet the king in the feast. The wedding feast. Praise the Lord. His wife has made herself ready. Ready for what? Take note. Esther chapter 2, verse 18. Even, let's read it from verse 16. So I will get the picture clearer. So, Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. At this point, verse 18, hallelujah, praise the verse 17. He made verse 17. He made Esther a queen. He set the crown, hallelujah, on Esther. He made Esther his queen. Take note of something before we read verse 18. Very, very important. Hallelujah. He loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. Listen, church. It is not just enough that you are a virgin. I'm talking spiritual virgins. It is not just enough. Hallelujah. What differentiated Esther from the other virgins, they were all virgins, was that when it was time to go and meet the king at the evening time, the other virgins, they asked the chamberlain to give them what they want to dress themselves with. But when it came to the turn of Esther, according to the scripture, Esther only accepted what the chamberlain prescribed and gave her. Let somebody catch that. Brethren, we have a message. And whatever voice is going on now, we will measure it, we will judge it by a voice we already have. The voice of the seventh angel. You want to serve God the way it pleases you, but there is his chamberlain for this age that told us this is God's acceptable standard in this age. It is not whether you like it or not. And you are not the one to determine whether you are beautiful or not. It is your husband that knows whether you are beautiful or not. And he's the one to determine which type of dress you are to wear. And if you say the dress that your husband gave you to wear, sister, you are saying that this one not fine now. It's not fine. Fine for you or for him. I'm telling you, time will prove all things. Whether what we are saying is just some fanatical thing we are saying. Because those who are preaching this nonsense, they are very eloquent. With feigned words. With all subtlety. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 likened them to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Who could talk away a woman away from what God told them personally. God told them, don't eat this. A serpent come to say, nah, it doesn't matter. It's a serpent that spoke it. And that spirit is not yet dead. It is a spirit. Hallelujah. My brother from Jos, maybe listen to me now, coming 2 days ago, I was saying, he listened to what I was saying. And his best TV channel is the National Geographic Wild, where you see how animals behave and things like that. And then he said that this thing that we preach and we say that what happened in the Garden of Eden was sex for pleasure. And that we made a statement that of all creation, that it is only the human beings, man and woman, that have sex for pleasure. He said to his shock, he discovered that there are some animals also that have sex for pleasure. And that there are some lions, chimpanzees, that we are homosexuals. And that he saw it. And he was confused, in line with the statement we make in justifying what happened in the Garden of Eden. And this was my answer to him. I said the serpent, hallelujah, the serpent, that animal, was he not a spirit that moved him to go and sleep with that woman? What is making human beings to be lesbians and homosexuals and then to be perverts, sexual perverts? Is it not a spirit? I said, if that spirit can come on human beings, can't that spirit also go on animals? He said, I answer, brother, you are correct. It's a spirit. Hallelujah. All these people, God will say, and then an animal is coming to say, no, 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 no. You want to explain a commandment? We are not to reason God's word. We are called to obey. That is the problem we have. A Christian that will progress in his spiritual life will be an obedient Christian, obedient to the word. Once you open the Bible, say, is it there? Hey! He will repent. But when you see anyone reasoning, but they say, a man that wear that which pertain to a woman that pertained, you see, the word pertain, the Greek lexicon and the apocalyptic interpretation of the theoretical adage of, and then they are bringing the philosophical and intellectual and then all the big grammar. Hey! It is a serpent speaking, brother. It's a serpent again, the same spirit. Don't wear! People enter message believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. A man or a woman prophesying, praying or prophesying with the head on cover, dishonoring his head. Which interpretation are you looking for? A man praying or prophesying with his head covered, dishonoring his head. Which interpretation are you looking for? Cover now, cover. Don't cover now, don't cover. That is why there is no church where you see any man of God preaching with his cap on. Or the man sitting down. It's the only scripture. And they enter message believers. Who claim that they follow the ministry of William Branham? The evidence that you are a follower of the ministry of William Branham is that it brings you to the Bible. It does not take you away from the Bible to any other thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are called to obey. We are called to obey. And Esther was dressed herself. And that is why you see it there. Revelation chapter 19. He said the bride has made herself, the wife has made herself ready. And to her, making herself ready, to her is given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. That means in this evening time, there is a dressing, spiritual dressing. There is the righteousness that is expected of us. And who is it that dresses us? It is God's own chamberlain. Hallelujah. It is that servant that he sent to beg the people to come for the wedding feast. And for this age, it is just that one man. The ministry of William Marion Brown. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take note that then the king made a great feast. You see? After he accepted her, it was then the feast was made. A great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Esther is accepted, united with the king, according to the word that she accepted of the messenger, the chamberlain. What is the next stage? The next stage is Esther's feast. The next stage is Esther's feast. What is Esther's feast? Take note. Hallelujah. That in verse 17, he said, he loved Esther above all other virgins. That's why I said, it's not just enough that you are a virgin. And of course, take note. When he said he loved Esther above all that, he said, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. It means, if he said more, it means those virgins too receive some favors from him. I want you to understand where the denominations are placed. Because a lot of us, we make this mistake. Because you see signs and wonders happening in some ministries who are so blind to the basic evil rudiments of salvation. Why? And in holiness, we know near them. In whatever it is, but certain revelations you have, they don't have. God does not throw them away like that. There are some other messengers in the court of the king that takes care of concubines. He does not throw them away. He still keeps them. But watch it. He takes Esther and brings him to his court. Preparation for a feast. He takes Esther. When he takes Esther, the remaining virgins, hallelujah, the door is closed to them. They have no access to come in like the queen. What is the next stage? The next stage now is the opening of the seventh seal. The seventh seal takes us to the feast of Esther. The seventh seal is the last thing to be done. Hey! I wish they can follow what I'm saying. The next stage that we are waiting for is Esther's feast. And by the time that Esther's feast takes place, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By the time that Esther's feast takes, this thing I am talking, I saw it last night as I was studying. I have never seen it before. I got so excited. I said, there's something here. What next for the bride? Remember, seven seals in that book, Revelation chapter 5. You begin to open them from Revelation chapter 6. The revelation was given to William Branham 28 February 1963. There in Arizona, in USA. That is when those angels brought that message to tell him to go back to town. It is time for the revelation of those seven seals that have been lying in Revelation chapter 6 all these years. And nobody knew what it meant. And when they were going up, they formed that cloud that appeared on the skies of Arizona there. That's what you see there on the screen. And only to discover, as the angel told him to turn that picture that was snapped by some magazines, and it was the face of Jesus Christ. Look at it carefully. Look at it very well. You can see it very well. You can see it. A complete description of him in Revelation chapter 1. The hair white. The same description of him as you see in Matthew chapter 17 in the Mount of Transfiguration. A historic thing that took place on earth here that only the bride will know. Praise the Lord. Then six seals were explained. We saw it. We put it in book form. The revelation of the seals, seven seals. Two books. Exposition of the seven church ages. And the revelation of the seven seals. Two books. Go to www.braham.org and you'll see how you can get it there. Or if you're in Nigeria, give us a call and we'll give you the Voice of God recording representative in Nigeria. And if you're a member here, you can meet the admin or my PA, Brother Jerry, and give your name, and we will go there and get some copies for you. There, six seals were revealed. Remaining one, which is the seventh seal. But when it came to the seventh seal, there was silence. We have explained that several times. Why was that silence? We have also explained it. That is the last move before the rapture. In there, hallelujah, is Esther's feast. I like it, Esther's feast, because Esther's feast takes place, hallelujah, after, amen, the king accepts her into him, the marriage. Hallelujah. Others are locked out. That is what we see in Luke chapter 13. Let's read it. Verse 24. See, verse 23. Let's read it from verse 23. He says, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, he rises up and closes the door. Which door? It is the door of salvation. It is the door of redemption. Where is he standing up from? He's standing up from the mercy seat. Where he has been sitting for the past 2,000 years. He stands up from the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what was happening. The standing up from the mercy seat begins the opening of the last seal, the seventh seal. Because he stands up. And what do we see he do after he stands up? And that is why what happened there in the opening, where there was silence. Hallelujah. Something was happening there and nobody, Apostle John, saw it. Hallelujah. He was still watching. Suddenly, amen, we come to chapter 10 and verse 1. Can we read it? Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. I'm explaining Esther's feast. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Who is that angel? The Lord Jesus Christ. The next verse. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Therefore, if anybody comes and says, the seven thunders have been revealed, the first question you should ask is, what are they saying? Because it is not written anywhere. Verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. You see why I am emphasizing evening, 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 evening. By the time he stands up, Luke chapter 13 says he closes the door. So it means any other thing happening after the door is closed is now between he, Christ, and those with whom the door is closed. And which door is closed? The door of salvation is closed. The door of revelation is closed. Because the next thing that we should know, it is only between Christ and his queen. Hallelujah. And the things that the bride, the queen, was to hear, they were uttered by seven thunders. So the seven thunder message will not be for everybody. Hallelujah. It is something. It is a revival that takes place. So, Esther's feast starts with the seven thunders. Because it produces a revival. But this revival, that is why he specifically called it Esther's feast. The feast of Esther. It is something that has to do with Esther. It is a celebration of Esther. It is a placement of Esther. It's something that will take place between Esther and King Ahasuerus when the door is closed. Praise the Lord. Then they go on. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Revelation chapter 10. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it. Now this is John speaking. Take it. Hallelujah. And eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter. But it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Verse 10. And John said, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou, John, he was speaking to John, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Take note that Esther, hallelujah, was given a crown and a feast was prepared, the feast of Esther. And he gathered all the princes, all the kings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we saw in verse 8, the book that was in the hand of the mighty angel, the Lord Jesus himself. John. This time, John is not the literal John that was in the Isle of Patmos receiving that revelation. We are looking at Revelation, the book of symbol. Here at this point, John here is representative of the bride in this evening time. There is something in that book. Hallelujah. There is something in that book. He said, take it and eat. To eat there is to digest it. To understand it. The understanding is going to be wonderful, super. But in your belly, it will be what? In the mouth, it will be sweet. But in the belly, it will be bitter. Praise the Lord. That simply means that there is going to be a revival when that door is closed. Something from that seven thunders that we shall hear. Then he will release us. For the kings and princes and nations to hear us in a short, quick move, which is the next stage of the rapture, the voice of the archangel. The first one is the shout. Then the next one is the voice of the archangel, which opens the seventh seal, which closes the door of salvation. So if anybody says that the thunder has sounded, then you tell him it also means salvation is over. But salvation is not yet over. He's still saving. Even now, he's saving. But somebody here, very soon the door will be closed. Very soon the door will be closed. That's why some time ago, Brother Emmanuel from Iceland, when he saw a revelation he was sharing with us through Skype, he said he saw himself wanting to travel and then remaining about 1 hour for the flight to take off according to the timing. Maybe it was to take place 12 o'clock and now he got to the airport 11 o'clock and they say there is no more checking in. What happened? He said checking in has closed. And he was worried. Does that mean that I will not board the plane? But here is my ticket. And in that estate he woke up and the Lord was telling him, so shall it be at the coming of the Lord. And those of us who travel, especially international flights, even local flights, they will write there in the ticket that check-in closes 1 hour to departure. When you get there, because within that last hour, from checking in time, that last remaining 1 hour is the time that other things take place with those whom they have checked in. Those who have checked in, there are some other processes that they are undergoing while the door is closed. That process is the Feast of Esther. That process is what takes place in the seven thunder revelation. That period between the time the door closes and the third stage, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the last stage, the trump of God, hallelujah, is the voice of resurrection. Hallelujah. To take off, to go home for the wedding feast, which will take place in 7 years. Praise the Lord. You see why? He says, strive to enter. He said, if not, you will come crying. Lord, open the door, open the door. And it will be too late. Yet, the rapture has not taken place, so we have only moved from one stage to the other. The seven thunders. Then, the feast continues with the John ministry. That John ministry is that bright reviver before the body change. What takes place when the door is closed is what the seven thunders tells us. That gives us rapturing faith. So that when you now have the rapturing faith within that period, you will not be going to buy stocks in the stock market. You won't be bothering to go and run to get visa to go anywhere. You won't bother to go and build a house or buy land anywhere. There's something we will know through the voice of the seven thunders. Seven thunders there will be another move of God. We will hear something through some other ministries, and it will be a worldwide ministry that prepares you. It must be something serious. That's why they say, John, don't write it. Because after all, it does not concern John. John will not be alive to be part of it. It is reserved for the end time, for that evening time. It is reserved for us. That's why he said, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are special people. It's a move that is reserved for the end. It is Esther's feast. The feast of Esther. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Let me just add one more thing. Listen. And what I'm going to say now may offend some old end time people. Oh, glory be to God. But I must say it. Amen. Where do we look out for this revival that is coming? Where are you looking out for where the seven thunders will sound? The Esther's feast, feast of Esther. Praise the Lord. Listen, the picture is in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 14 verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant. That servant in this age is William Branham. At supper time in the evening to say to them that we are bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in either the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Take note of that verse 21. Verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel, force them to come in, that my house may be filled. My emphasis again, verse 24. For I say unto you, let it be underlined in your Bible, that none of those men which we are bidding shall taste of my supper. If somebody is following, you will catch something here. This entire message came out, and a number of people that received this message, what did they do with it? Instead of going out and using this message, glorious message, to bring in people, what were they doing there? They were messing up with the message. They refused to carry the message as it should be carried. They became money mongers. Everyone that went into the ministry, following the ministry with William Branham, held into quotes. Nothing but to use the gospel and make money. Tithe belonged to the pastor. Had no time for evangelism. There are inter-message churches that don't believe in evangelism. They don't even believe in having signboard. Those to be saved will be saved. Listen, church. Praise the Lord. He said, none of them will take part in that supper. Therefore, the revival that is coming up, listen, worldwide, the bride of Jesus Christ, listen to me. Don't you look at any of those old enter message believers. It will never come through them. It will never come through them. Listen, church. And the reason I say this is in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 36 to 39. And he spake also a parable unto them. See, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. So you see why we cannot agree with the old end-time believers. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. See another thing he said in verse 38. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And both the new wine and the new bottles are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straight away desired new, for he said the old is better. This revival that is coming, the old setting of the mainstay believers cannot receive it. Therefore, we are looking forward to a new generation of believers, new bottles for a new wine revival revelation. If you carry these old ones and put a new one, the bottle is too starchy, it will burst. That is why the denominations could not accept the message of William Brown. It will burst that old bottle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The pattern is there. That is why when it was time for grace to be ushered in, God did not raise Gamaliel. God did not raise Caiaphas. God did not raise any of those old juggernauts from nowhere. Somebody that was not known, John the Baptist from the wilderness from nowhere, he brought him. Jesus Christ did not choose any of the recognized people to be his disciples. New people. Hallelujah. All the reformers, he did not pick any of those juggernauts from nowhere. And the star messenger for this age, with a message to this age, he did not raise any of the known names. He raised one little young Kentuckian somewhere who did not even go to school enough like others. New wine into new bottles. And yeah, so any old one, any old bottle, any old message believer that will be part of this revival, number one, he must be like Apostle Paul. He will be broken down first. So that all brah brah and say, this quote, he will count them as dung and throw it away, and allow God to move. That is what God did to Apostle Paul. He thought he knew something. Any old message preacher that will be part of the oncoming revival that we are all expecting must be broken down first. Or you must be among those old ones that were there crying like Gideon. Crying. Looking for something better. You are not satisfied. You are looking for something. You know something is wrong with your message. Like John Wesley. Like Martin Luther. Which fulfilled the parable of Matthew chapter 13. Am I correct? Verse 44 and verse 45. Those two parables there. Verse 44 and verse 45. Matthew 13 is that pearl of great price, that when he found it, he dropped everything. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, The which when a man has found, it means he was looking for, he hideth and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. Selling all that you have is throwing away all your old theology. And that was Martin Luther. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So he was actually looking for something. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, without holiness, no man can see God, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That is John Wesley. You must be like that. We are looking for something else. So, they will be speaking against what is happening. They will be telling you, Brother Assembly is not in the message. Yes, we are not in their kind of message. For the first time, the message is being heard again around the world through this ministry. And we are not saying we are sounding the thunders. But I'm telling you, we are more in a position to receive the thunder when it sounds than them. Because some of them say, thunder has already sounded, so what are they waiting for again? I am preaching what we expect. I am not trying to say, now we. Now be we all. I will never deceive you to believe, you know, what you know, obvious. You yourself, you know, I'll be lying. If anything we proceed from this church, other than this evangelistic stage that we are in, then something drastic will have to happen. I am looking at what happened to Ananias and Sapphira to happen here. Something must happen to bring fear upon the people. Praise God. So this is what Romans chapter 8 says. Verse 18. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Hallelujah. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, every creature, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? Finally, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, this whole earth, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Finally, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See how the way he put this language. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. We are no thief approaches, neither moth corrupted. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be gathered about and your lights burning. And you yourself, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Then he said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall guide himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will comfort and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief will come, he will have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. So he says, watch and pray. So what are you to do? Beware of false prophets. Beware of these angels of light that will try to come to confuse the bride, to make claims, like one that says he is John. Now that John in the Bible that I interpret as a move, a revival, he says it is him. Another one says he is elder. He is among the 24 elders. He is one elder, David. So we are in Benin. Another one says he's the chief apostle, chief first apostle. Another one says he's the eighth angel. Another one says that the thunder has been revealed. Another one says that the rapture, Jesus has come on the 28th February 1963. Therefore, we are now in the millennium. All manner of confusion that Satan brought in. But our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. As victory is ours, we were chained down in the past. To believe a thunder, and we are responded to our Lord. Come to the Savior, make no delay. He had enough wound, he has showed us the way. He had enough wound, he stand and he say, will you my children come? Joyful, we now mean to be. Welcome, see, out of joy. Every shadow, every shadow, every in our eternal. Let us pray. Sit down, bow down your head. There's a prayer that I told you I pray quite often. And I think it's a very sincere prayer. That I didn't know how important salvation was through Jesus Christ. God in his mercy made me to know Christ. I was not praying for it. Then he did not allow me to go the way of error. He showed me the shout Make me to be part of the first process of the rapture. Make me to see the message of the hour. I didn't know anything about it before. He brought it my way. The next prayer is, Lord, your next move. That same mercy that brought me so far, don't leave me behind. Let me be part of your next move. I don't know how many people can pray that prayer also, then talk to God. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord.
Remember me, O Lord.
Now, sincere people should pray that prayer.
Of Christ's name we pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, King of glory, thank you for this fresh hidden manna that I've been served today. Daddy, may you help us, O God, to be on the watch and be on the lookout in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, just as we have prayed earlier, Papa, there was no special thing we did before. By your grace, you carry us along in your next chapter in your dealing with mankind and with your church. Therefore, Lord, we pray, as you open the next chapter after this one, O God, may we move along with you to the next chapter in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, grant us grace, O God, to live a life that is acceptable unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, Father, you said, it is not by power, nor by might, but by your spirit. Grant, O Papa, all the enabling grace, O God, to be true children of God, to be a written epistle in this age, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that will not just be confessing that we have a message. We have a message. That the people will see the message in our lifestyle and actions, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Again. Again. Again.
That concludes the message and the series of What Next for the Bride. Maybe I've said anything that may not be too clear for you. Feel free and call us, call the numbers on the screen, send us an email, ask your questions, and we'll be glad to answer you. For we don't intend to confuse, but to establish the bride for the age. Thank you, and keep watching this channel. You are blessed.